course. Go ahead and take out your Bibles again tonight. Turn to the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. So Philippians chapter number 2 is where we're going to be tonight. This message tonight is just super practical. The outline is just super simple. Everything's super practical about this. So I hope to just leave you tonight with just some simple practical truths from God's Word. All right, so Philippians chapter number 2, if you're there, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. All right, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. If I could just draw your attention back to verse number 12 here quickly. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And this is kind of our thought for tonight. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's pray together and we'll dive into our text. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I pray that you'd be with us this time of preaching tonight. I pray that you'd be with me. Just use me as a tool in your hand, Lord, an empty vessel, that I would just preach what thus saith the Lord, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, we just pray that above all else, that your word would speak to hearts in here tonight, Lord, myself included. Again, we just thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for your word, all the promises that we have to claim, all the encouragement that we have to grasp, and all of the truths that we have to learn from in your word, this precious book you've given us tonight. We just want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. All right, so this phrase in verse number 12, Philippians 2, verse number 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All right, so at first glance, I think most of us understand what this is saying, but just in case we don't, at first glance, this phrase can maybe be confusing. Work out your own salvation. Of course, we believe here that salvation is by grace through faith. Nothing more, nothing less. It has nothing to do with works. And if anyone preaches something like that, that salvation is of works behind this pulpit, that will probably be the last time they ever preach behind the pulpit. That's how strongly we believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. So understand that what Paul is saying is not work towards your salvation. He's saying work out your own salvation, work out the salvation that's already in you. I would sum it up this way. This is how I would say it, and this is the title of the message tonight. Work out what God has worked in you, right? Work out what God has worked in you, right? So work out what God has worked in, all right? If God has given you salvation, he's done a work in you. And now we're going to talk tonight about the process of sanctification, which is really working out what God has already worked in. You see, God is not designed to just save us, then just leave us like that, to live the way that we lived before we were saved and to act like there's nothing genuine about that. When he saves us, there's a way that we ought to behave that really reveals that our salvation is legitimate. And I want you to notice verse number 13. I want to draw two applications from this verse before we jump into the outline pertaining to this working out your own salvation. Verse number 13, for it is of God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right? So verse number 12, work out your own salvation, right? We're to behave a certain way. Our salvation, if it's genuine, should produce genuine fruit. If we've genuinely been saved, then there should be evidence of our salvation. Again, those works, those works are not how we get saved, but really these works are what prove that we are saved. What Paul is saying in verse number 13, for it is of God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We should have a problem with someone claiming to be saved, but there's no evidence of God working in them and through them for his own pleasure. And if that's the case, if someone claims to be saved and there's no evidence of God working in them and God working out of them for his pleasure, then if I can just say it as bluntly as I know how, most likely they've never been saved at all. And we have to be more faithful in preaching that salvation is more than just a profession. Salvation is much more than a profession. Salvation is a legitimate turning away. It's a legitimate turning to God. What does the Bible say? That we are new creatures. So verse number 13, for it is of God which worketh in you, right? So if you've legitimately been saved, then there should be evidence that God is working in you and through you. He's working out what he's worked in your life. Here's the next application I want to draw from verse number 13. For it is of God which worketh in you both to will and to do. And there's one little word here that I want you to circle, underline, if you have a habit of doing that in your Bible. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Of his good pleasure. Understand that salvation is really not about you. God didn't save you for you. God saved you for God. God's purpose is for himself. God's purpose in saving you is for his honor and for his glory. And we find this theme all throughout Scripture. And really, the Lord doesn't feel a need to apologize about this theme all throughout Scripture. The life that he's given you is for his honor and for his glory. So when we talk about, Clay, why should we work out our own salvation? Why should we strive to behave a certain way because we've been saved? Why should we really labor at working out what God has worked in? Why should we do this? Here's why: because that salvation is for God. He paid the price. He gave you salvation for his honor and for his glory. So if you're wondering, why should I behave the way that God commands me to behave? Because your salvation is for his glory, not yours to begin with. And so we all have this command to work out our own salvation. So now we're going to jump into this and really describe some things that Paul gives us in our text as to how we are to work out our salvation. I'm not just going to tell you to work out your salvation and then leave you clueless as to what that means and what that pertains to. We're going to dive into that, and we're going to explain tonight how to work out what God has worked in. Number one, and again, five just super practical things. Nothing new. If you came in here for a new revelation from God, you know, sorry, God's already given us all the revelation he wants us to have in his word. So just super practical tonight. Number one, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. This is a simple thing. How do we work out our own salvation? The first thing is watch our tongue. Look back at verse number 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Now, that's a pretty clear-cut verse, right? Paul's not beating around the bush. He's not cutting any corners. What's he saying to do? Look, in everything you do, do it without complaining. What does that mean? That means watch your mouth. I'm just going to be honest, right? We talk about Philippians, the theme of the whole book being joy. I have a hard time believing that a Christian who claims to be saved gloriously by a wonderful Savior, claims to be saved, claims to be redeemed, I have a hard time with them claiming to be saved but complaining about everything that life throws at them. What does Paul say? Do all things without murmuring and disputings. And again, the beautiful thing in this book of Philippians is this man, Paul, that's telling people don't complain in all of your circumstances has been given all of the circumstances in the world to complain about. I mean, he's had every reason to complain, but what does he say? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm just going to be honest. One thing that we need more of in churches today is just a positive outlook. Stop complaining. Stop pointing out everything that is wrong. Stop nitpicking, whatever words we want to use. We need to get away from this negative spirit that just dwells in Christianity today. What does Paul say? Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Listen, you're not going to fulfill the joy that God wants you to have by complaining. You're just not. You're never going to experience true joy if you're complaining about everything life throws at you. You're never going to experience true joy if you're just nitpicking everything in the ministry. You're never going to find joy if you just keep looking for things to complain about. I think if we would spend more time looking for joy instead of looking for things to complain about, we might actually have a church full of joyous people, right? So what's the first thing that Paul tells us? All right, you need to work out what God's worked in. Work out your own salvation. What's the first thing that you need to take notice of? Church at Philippi, members of Philippi, what's the first thing you need to do? Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Keep the negativity out of your vocabulary. Keep the negative words out of your vocabulary. Church, may I encourage you tonight? Let's watch our mouth. Let's watch our tongue. We're going out into a world that's dark, that's crooked, that's perverse, that hears nothing but bad news that the media gives them. Can we not be positive for the sake of Christ? I mean, part of being a light in a dark world is just being positive and just showing the world that there is hope, that there is joy to be found, regardless of what culture tries to tell us that there's not. So number one, watch your tongue. Number two, protect your testimony. Number two, protect your testimony. All right, so Paul's talking about, all right, you need to work out what God has worked in. Work out your own salvation, all right? Watch your mouth, right? Stay away from negativity. Stay away from complaining. Stay away from griping. And number two, what's he telling the church at Philippi? Protect your testimony. Verse number 15, look at it again with me. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. All right, what is Paul telling these people at Philippi? Understand first the latter end of the verse, ye shine as lights in the world. I want you to understand something, that if you are a light in a dark world, then you are peculiar. You're peculiar. Part of Christianity is just embracing the fact that we're supposed to be set apart. Part of being a Christian is just embracing the fact that we're supposed to be different. And part of being a Christian is just to accept the fact that we are peculiar. Listen, it's not our job as Christians to fit into the rest of the world. I have an issue with, it seems like Christians want to strive so hard to know everything that the world is doing. We want to fit in with everything that the world is doing. Listen, embrace the call that God has given you to be different. You're supposed to be peculiar. All right, so your coworkers live a certain way that's different than you. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. Embrace the fact that you've been given a peculiar call. You're a light in a dark world. Listen, you look a little different than the rest of the world. That's okay. I want you to embrace that. Paul's telling this church at Philippi, listen, don't be afraid to be different. That's the call that you've been given. You're not supposed to look like the rest of the dark world. You're not supposed to look like the rest of the crooked and perverse world. This word crooked in verse number 15 is interesting. The Greek word is actually scoliosis. That's where we get our English word scoliosis. If you know anything about scoliosis, that just means a crooked back, basically. Scoliosis is having a bent spine. It's when your back is just not straight like it's supposed to be. What is Paul saying to these people? Listen, the rest of the world is crooked. What the world needs to see is just something straight. And may I say to you, he was talking to Philippi in their time, but this obviously applies today. We live in a world that is crooked. We live in a world that is perverse. God calls us to be straight. All right, so let's do our best to embrace peculiarity. But what is Paul saying to them? That ye may be blameless. What does that mean? That just means that people don't have reason to call you out. That means people outside of the church, people outside of Christianity, you've not given them ammunition to throw at you to say your Christianity is not genuine. And harmless, that means that we're not offending the rest of the world, right? We're preaching the truth in love without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Listen, we need to do our best this week in our Christian life to protect our testimony. You know what is most repulsive to someone who does not believe in the Lord? You know what's most repulsive to them? Seeing someone who claims to know the Lord who doesn't take that seriously. You know what's repulsive to people outside of church? You don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm not going to come to church because everyone in the church is a fake. Nothing makes people more mad outside of Christianity than seeing people in Christianity claim to love Christ but never live like they love Christ at all. Listen, protect your testimony. We have a world that is waiting for you to slip up. I mean, the world's waiting on it. Have you guys noticed on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, whatever you watch, every time that someone messes up, that's the first thing that the media wants to pull out. Listen, that's what the media is looking for. They're waiting for Christians to mess up. They're waiting for Christians to slip up. They're waiting for Christians to give them ammunition to complain about our Christianity being genuine. So what do we do with that? We just have to put our guard up and protect our testimony. Listen, when you go into the workplace this week, embrace that call to be different. Don't try to just fit in and don't try to just be liked. Embrace the call to be different. Stand out. Don't give people ammunition to not only blast Christianity, but blast God himself. We need to protect our testimony. So number one, we still need to watch our tongue. Number two, protect our testimony. Number three, again, another simple thing here. Keep God's word prevalent in your life. Keep God's word prevalent in your life. All right, so we have watch our tongue, we have protect our testimony, and keeping God's word prevalent in our life. Verse number 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth forth the word of Christ. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know how any Christian can find joy without having a good diet of God's word in their life. I just don't know how they can do it. I'll just be honest with you. Preaching doesn't do it for me. Preaching does not sustain my joy. I have to get in the word myself for that to sustain me. I don't know how Christians think they can have joy without having a healthy diet in God's word. This is simple advice that Paul's giving the church at Philippi, but he's just saying this to them. Hold forth the word of life. You want joy, you want to know how you're to behave in your salvation, then just keep the word of God at the forefront of your life. I think a lot of times we substitute good things for the best things, right? We substitute church for our own Bible reading. We substitute preaching for our own Bible reading. We substitute Christian music for our own Bible reading. Understand that God has designed for each and every one of you in here to read his word for yourself. I can give you some of God's word. I can expound to you texts of scripture, but I cannot sustain the diet for what you need in your life. I can't be with you and read the scripture for you every day, and your pastor cannot be with you and read the scripture to you every day. You have to be in the word yourself. You're never going to experience full joy until you experience a full diet on God's word. What is Paul telling the church at Philippi? You want joy? You want to work out what God has worked in? You want to work out your own salvation? Then you're going to have to hold forth the word of life. Keep God's word at the forefront. That's something that we try to do at this church, right? We try to keep God's word as our utmost priority here. God's word trumps everything. It trumps the music. It trumps the offerings. It trumps everything. God's word is what we try to hold as a standard in this church. Now, here's why we do that, because God's word should be held at the top of your priority list in your own personal life and in your family's life. And so let me just ask you tonight, as I have to ask myself, what is your diet like for scripture reading? How much are you in the word? Are you holding it forth in your life? Where is the Bible on your priority list? May I say to you that if your Bible reading is weak, then you probably haven't experienced joy to your fullest. If you're not in the Bible every day, and if you're not in the Bible studying God's word a lot, then you probably haven't experienced joy to the fullest. God designs for our joy to be fulfilled through him. Where do we know? How do we know him? How do we hear how he talks to us? It's through his word, right? So watch your tongue, protect your testimony. Keep God's word prevalent in your life. Number four, remember that your labor is not in vain. Remember that your labor is not in vain. Again, just simple things here tonight. Watch your tongue, protect your testimony, keep God's word prevalent in your life. Remember your labor is not in vain. Verse number 16, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. One of my favorite passages of scripture that I just kind of came to recently, I mean, I've read it before, but it just became real to me recently, is Zechariah 4:10. And it says, who hath despised the day of small things? I think a lot of times we look at God's work and we get discouraged because we don't think that God's work is big enough in our life. I think a lot of times we look at the church and we think that we're not experiencing the growth that we want to see. And I think a lot of times we get discouraged by small things. But may I say to you that God is the God of small things. You look all throughout the Bible and God always uses small things or people of small significance. The 12 men that he called as disciples were men of small significance, most of them being fishermen. Let's go all the way back to the Old Testament. What about with the life of Moses? Do you ever notice in the life of Moses how much we see Moses' rod being used to exalt the glory of God, a small thing and a rod? What about David, a sling and a stone, a small thing that God uses in a great way? We can go on and on and talk about how God uses small things. I want you to understand something tonight. God uses small things. It reminds me of the hymn, little as much when God is in it. And maybe you're thinking tonight, I'm laboring, I'm doing everything that I can for Christ, and I'm serving in this ministry, and I'm serving at this capacity, and I'm praying for this family member, and I'm trying to do these, all these things for Christ. I'm just not seeing the results that I want to see. Listen, don't get discouraged. Just understand that your labor is not in vain. And God does not work numerically. That's not how he tells us he works. God uses small things. He makes small things big. And so tonight, I want you not to get discouraged because you're laboring. It seems like you're working towards something. You're just not getting the results that you're expecting. Understand that your labor is not in vain. Notice what Paul says. I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What's Paul saying? I know right now I'm in prison. I know I'm about to die. I know what's getting ready to happen to me. I'm stuck in this prison and I'm getting ready to die. But he's saying, understand this. I've not labored in vain. I've not labored in vain. I mean, it doesn't look good right now, but I know I haven't labored in vain. I've ran for God. God's going to bless the effort that I've put in. And listen, maybe right now you're not seeing the results you want to see. Maybe you're not. Maybe in your Sunday school class, maybe you're a bus worker, you're just not seeing the results you want to see in the bus ministry. Maybe it's in your own family. Maybe it's a prayer request you've been praying. You're just not seeing the results that you want to see. Listen, keep in mind, your labor is not in vain. God will bless the labor. Look, things didn't look ideal for Paul here either, but he doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't say, everything that I've done has led me to this prison cell. He says, no, you know what? Everything I've done, it's not in vain. It wasn't a waste of time. How many times are we guilty of doing something for the Lord, not getting the results that we expect, and then getting discouraged thinking that was a waste of my time? Or thinking I could have used my time in a better way. Listen, don't think that way. God uses small things. Your labor is not in vain. Listen, don't expect certain results. Can I just encourage you that way? That's one thing I'm learning in ministry, not to expect certain results. I just have to leave the results to God. I just have to labor and just be encouraged in the fact that my labor, that my running, that my race has not been left in vain. I have to leave the results up to God. Don't get discouraged. Whatever it is that you're discouraged about tonight, just keep in mind, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. God will bless the labor. God will bless the effort. And then number five, lastly here, and again, something simple, continue to rejoice. Continue to rejoice. All right, so we're talking about working out what God works in, working out our own salvation. If we're going to do that the right way, if we're going to be the right kind of Christian that we ought to be, we have to watch our tongue, we have to protect our testimony, we have to keep God's word at the forefront of our life, we have to remember that our labor is not in vain, we don't get discouraged by not seeing the results we want to see, and then lastly, we just have to continue to rejoice. Verse number 17 again, 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all for the same, because ye also joy and rejoice with me. We see it again in verse 16. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of the Lord. Again, we see this testimony of Paul, even from the prison cell, constantly rejoicing. I would even say this. He's rejoicing when life is just not very rejoiceable. Paul is rejoicing in his life when he really has no reason to, but what's he doing? He understands if he's going to have joy, he just has to continue to rejoice. And may I say this to you, church? We have a lot of negative things that we can look at tonight. I won't lie to you. We can turn on the news and we can go out in society and we can see a lot of negative things, a lot of things that can discourage us. We have things like that on every side. If you walked out of here wanting to find reasons to get discouraged, I promise you that you'll find those reasons to be discouraged. But why don't we spend less time finding reasons to get discouraged and find more reasons to rejoice? What is joy? Joy is just the spirit of constantly rejoicing. Paul's saying, all right, I'm in a prison cell, so what? My death is imminent, so what? I've endured all of this persecution, so what? People have misunderstood me, so what? People have left me for dead, so what? I'm just going to keep rejoicing. You know what the best remedy for your discouragement is? Is just find a way to rejoice. One of the children, I believe it was Mariah, said the verse tonight, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know what the best medicine is for your discouragement? It's this simple. Find reasons to rejoice. And you say, Clay, I just don't have reasons in my life to rejoice right now. Well, can I remind you what we preached about this morning? The God who came down, the God who robed himself in flesh and gave everything that he had to die for us. May I say to you that that's reason to rejoice. God's given you salvation that you don't deserve. That's a reason to rejoice. God's giving you a church family. That's reason to rejoice. You can find things all throughout your life. If we spend more time looking for things to rejoice about than finding things to get discouraged over, then we will find reasons to rejoice. Right, how do we work out what God works in? God's done something miraculous in our life. Do we believe that? When God saved you, he did something fantastic in you. And so what do we do as response? We work out that rejoicing because we're so joyous about what he's done in our heart and in our life. Church, can we find reasons to rejoice here tonight? When we go out this week, can we stop looking at all the bad and stop looking at all the negative and just find reasons to rejoice. Listen, work out your own salvation. What does the world need? They don't need more things to get discouraged over. They don't need more things to worry about. They need to see us rejoicing that a Savior loves us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. Listen, joy is what? It's this constant spirit of rejoicing. All right, so tonight in here, God's done a work in your life. He saved you miraculously. He's done a wonderful work in your life. Now, what are you doing with that? God's done the working in. Now it's time for you to do the working out, the process of sanctification. Are we watching our tongue? Church, this week, don't even the things that you post on media, listen, just protect what you say. Be careful as to what you say. Are you protecting your testimony? Don't give the world ammunition. Don't give the world ammunition to be condescending towards Christianity. Are we keeping God's word prevalent in our life? Listen, these two services that you've had today are not enough for your spiritual diet. You're going to have to get in the word for yourself this week. All right, don't get discouraged about your labor. It's not in vain. Everything that you're doing is not in vain. Leave the results up to God. Listen, just continue to rejoice. Church, when we go out of here tonight, find reasons to rejoice. Leave this building tonight and find reasons to rejoice. Fulfill the joy that God has given you. Let's pray, then we'll have a time of invitation. Lord, again, pray that you be with all of us. Lord, I thank you for the man that you used here in Scripture. Of course, we know that, Lord, everything that he said was inspired, Lord, literally breathed from you. But, Lord, what a testimony we have in the man that you used here. And, Lord, if we're struggling with reasons to rejoice in our life, we really have no excuse looking at Paul's. And so I pray that you be with all of us. Lord, you've done something great in our life when you saved us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to live the way we ought to live, to work out those things that you've worked in our life. Help us all in this church, Lord, to uphold the right testimony and to watch what we say, to keep God's word just prevalent in our life and continue to rejoice. Lord, just do all these things that really salvation requires of us. Lord, we live in a world that desperately needs to see it. And so I pray that you'd help us all in here to be the light that we ought to be tonight. Bless this time of invitation and give us safety as we all travel our different and separate ways. Again, we love you. Thank you for how many blessings. Jesus, and we do pray.